Enterprise, Primitive Baptist Church.
This is somewhat of a surreal moment. Let me explain why. It's about a little over a decade ago. I was not in the Primitive Baptist Church. I lived in Japan, and there were a great number of confusing messages that came out. Now, I'll summarize what it sounds like to me I was being taught in the different churches that I attended there. You are a dead. You're an alien sinner. You possess no life. So you need to get up and do something to get yourself saved. Now, they said it quite a bit more eloquently than that, and they said it by taking a lot of passages out of context and perhaps avoiding some other ones. But I could never quite understand and square all of the context of Scripture under that doctrine. And I knew about TULIP, and I had been exposed to Primitive Baptist doctrine when I was very young. But as life goes, sometimes we move away from that of our youth. But I had a desire, a thirst that needed to be quenched. And that happened when I was in Japan, and I began to search on the internet. And the great irony is, one of the very first sermons that I came across was Elder Buddy Abernathy. And the message was on point. It helped make sense of a lot of things. And Elder Abernathy, he's a very humble man, and he would never, ever take credit for the revelation that came to me. And but the message was only part of it. It was his low voice and how slow he spoke so that I could follow, because I'm not that bright. And I was so drawn to his preaching style, so I downloaded more and more and more. And so, to be up here, when I visit a church, normally I go first. Thank goodness, because it is a bit frightening to follow such excellent preaching. But I am so thankful for the prayers that have been offered up at this point. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share a little bit about what has been on my mind lately. And it actually kind of started with what Elder Abernathy had talked about, is the questions that we ask. Why does God allow tragedy? I also appreciate how important it is for folks like me to have good mentors. And so all those decades ago, to think that I was going to be on this side of the pulpit preaching with Elder Abernathy in the pews, it just never occurred to me that that would happen. As I first listened to Brother J.C. preach, his thundering voice coming from the pulpit, I'm very, very fortunate that God has saw fit to give me these mentors. And just like Paul, when he was mentoring Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved, not unto me, not unto JC, not unto Buddy, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And to rightly divide the word of truth, we have to get into God's word. And the very first sermon that I downloaded from Elder Abernathy was talking about the term the world. And he began rightly dividing how the world is used in Scripture. And I'll start out just to, we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and it was the world that was under consideration. Just like he talked about, it was yesterday, he talked about these things, all things, being all these things under consideration. When we hear the word all men, it's, you know, all manner of men, not every single human being that's ever existed in the world. And these things require some context and some rightly dividing. And we know, and so in 1 John chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, we know that we are of God. We know. Let's take this word know. That is an intimate knowledge. You know, in the Old Testament, we hear Adam knew Eve. This man knew his wife. When we're talking about knowing, we are talking about an intimate togetherness. And we know that we are of God. And that knowledge comes from God and only from God. Not from hearing a preacher, although it's wonderful to have the mentorship and the guidance of the preachers that we've got. And there's no shortage of that here this meeting. We're so thankful. But we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we're looking for some comfort in a wicked world. And that's where the preaching of the gospel becomes ever so important. I've been no stranger of tragedy, and I know that a lot of you are no strangers of tragedy, especially in recent times. Ever since COVID has come along, we've all had our share of understanding the consequences of being in this wicked world, but not being of this wicked world. And that's where our comfort comes. And we know that the Son of God is come. The word echo, the Greek term echo, is come. And again, that is an intimate presence. An intimate presence of the Lord, and the tense of it is such that it was in the beginning, it is now, and it will be in the future. Also talked about yesterday was God being referenced as I am. God was, is, and will be, and will always be from the beginning all the way to the end. And that brings us comfort. No matter how difficult it is for us to understand all aspects of the world and its nature, we can take comfort in knowing that we are of the great I am. And we know that the Son of God is come. Again, we feel his intimate presence. And we worship his glory every day. And hath given us an understanding. He has given us an understanding. And this reflects a little bit on what Brother Buddy was speaking on yesterday. He does not give us all understanding, but an understanding. And that understanding is that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. If we have that understanding, if we have that understanding, then even in the things that we lack in understanding, we can still be peaceful and joyful. At the last weekend meeting we had, somebody said that joy is peace dancing, and peace is joy at rest. And the two, it just made so much sense. It just made so much sense. So as we talk about an understanding, I'd like to look back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this will kind of relate a little bit to what Elder Stanilan was talking about. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Strangers that are scattered. Strangers to this world. We are sojourners through here. We are not taking up residence here. This world and the wickedness that's in it and the tragedies that occur is temporary for us. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. What did I do before God foreknew something? It is an interesting way of looking at things, isn't it? To the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. So by God's foreknowledge and the Holy Spirit sanctifying us, separating us apart from the world, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So Peter is making this introduction to believers, to the elect. And he acknowledges that you, that God foreknew, I'm about to call you to do something. And this goes back to a basic understanding of cause and effect. One cannot be called unto a life of obedience until they have life. Obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about the sprinkling of blood, two things come to my mind. One, which was referenced yesterday, the sprinkling of blood was for the forgiveness of sins. But another goes back to Exodus. And in the interest of time, I'm not going to go back and read. But when Moses was given the law, and he made a sacrifice, and he sprinkled the altar that he built to the Lord, and then he sprinkled the people. They were pledging obedience to the Lord and to the law. So with our spiritual life that was given to us by the foreknowledge of God, Peter is saying that we are called unto a life of obedience. I often am asked, well, if you believe in predestination, doesn't that mean that you can just do whatever you want and you're still going to go to heaven? And that is not, that's not quite the right questions that we ought to be asking. And I don't do this, but should we be obedient because of our love for God? Or should we be obedient because we're afraid of what might happen? our love for God will move us to obedience. So, continuing on, we get called to a life of obedience because we have spiritual life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, and this is where the sprinkling of that blood, the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ is echoed here, his abundant mercy. And I thought it was really interesting as Brother Stanland was talking about how did the publican feel about his sin. And he was repentant. He was truly repentant. He truly wanted his heart to change because he was moved by his sin and he wanted to do better. You know, and this is another kind of side note. I just learned to write my name. How old are you when you learn how to write your name? Four, something like that. I remember this, though. My parents had this nice new walnut desk. And I had a nail, and I knew how to write my name. So, I wrote my name, and of course they saw it, and they said, Destry, why did you do this? And like any totally depraved sinner, I said, I didn't do that. I didn't get away with it. But what was a four-year-old kid going to do to erase the marred wood of that desk? Nothing. Nothing I could do. That's the way it is. That is the way our life is. So marred, but completely erased because of what Jesus Christ did. And that, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us. Okay, so how many times have we been begotten? At least two. So begotten us again. We were born in the flesh and then born in the Spirit. Because this letter is to the elect. So we're born in the flesh, we're born in the Spirit. But I want to throw something else out at you there. What did Peter do when Jesus was crucified? And he was walking along and somebody said, hey, aren't you a follower of that fellow they just crucified? And he denied his Lord. He had to have been pretty down. Would you say that he'd lost all hope? And even on the third day, when Mary came to tell him that Christ is risen, he still didn't believe. But when he witnessed the resurrected body of our Lord and Savior, do you think he was begotten again with a lively hope? I think he probably was. According to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We may lose hope. We may feel downtrodden in the difficulties of life. We may feel mired in the tragedy that is about us. But we come here and we build each other up and we love one another and we see the love of Jesus Christ. And we are reminded through the songs that we sing and the preaching that we hear that we are going to receive an inheritance that is incorruptible. And even though we've marred the wood with that rusty nail and then lied about it, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And with that, I thank you very much for your kind attention. And again, this is kind of neat, getting here to stand in front of the pulpit, in front of somebody that I listened to in Japan, thousands of miles away, a full decade later. So it's what a great privilege. Thank you.